From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. Today's show is action-packed, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of topics, and we're going to have a special guest, Shalom Klein. You can also hear him on AM 560. Get down to business Sundays at 6 p.m. He's going to join the show in the third segment. What I want to talk about in the first two segments of the show is basically this. You know, all that you hear on the news is coronavirus, COVID-19, the CARE Act. A piece of that puzzle is forbearance, or what everybody is calling mortgage forbearance. And there is a ton of misinformation in regards to this piece of your financial puzzle. So, you know, everybody's out there struggling in one way or another. Either it's a health issue, an employment issue, a financial issue. But the information out in the markets and on the news and everywhere in social media is, hey, call your mortgage company and they'll give you up to 12 months of no payments on your mortgage. And that's not what's going on. That is not the facts. It is fake news, and a lot of the fake information from the mortgage companies, you know, kind of pleading to you guys to call in, and then unfortunately, you're at their mercy. So last Wednesday, I was on Steve Cortez's show, which you can hear Monday through Fridays on AM 560 from 5 to 7 p.m. And one of the main topics of our conversation, and one of the reasons why he called me, is the information that's being presented to many homeowners. So what happened? Let's kind of rewind back to the 2008, 9, and 10 crash for just one second. What happened with most homeowners that was facing financial struggles then is they called their mortgage companies. And at that time, the buzzword was to do a mortgage modification. Okay. So a modification is a tweaking or an adjustment to your mortgage. So what they would do is they might how much money you're still owing them or behind. So let's say you're 3-4 months behind. They would take that money and they would add it to the end of the loan. And then many times, unfortunately, they put the consumer or the homeowner into a much worse position in this way. They would extend the loan. They would raise their rate, believe it or not, and most people at that time didn't care about that. And they extended the loan out to a 40-year term, and then they added any deficiency balance that you had to the end, okay? And that is a big piece of also what crumbled the economy and the banking system. So now the big buzzword is forbearance. And just Wednesday, I was on the Steve Cortez show, like I said, and we discussed what a forbearance is and why my suggestion is don't do it. Find out all the facts before you sign on that bottom line, because once you sign, you can't really go backwards, and you're going to find out why this program is devastating to people, not today, not tomorrow, but maybe 3 or 4 months down the road. So listen up, and then when we come back, I'm going to define in more detail what a forbearance of your mortgage is, and also all the options that you have to not go down that path. Here's that segment now.
Whew, great song. I kind of just want to let it keep playing and not get to this topic, but I have to because it's an important topic and an important guest. Folks, when it comes to interest rates, I believe I know interest rates just about as well as anybody. I traded them for 25 years on Wall Street, and I still watch them extremely closely. However, when it comes to mortgages, which of course are very much related to interest rate, when it comes to mortgages, I don't know anything. And I want to talk about mortgages because this is such an important issue for so many Americans right now who are facing tough times. And to talk mortgages, I had to go to the bullpen and bring in Dan Frio. Dan, thanks for being on the Steve Cortez show.
You bet. Thanks, Steve, for having me.
So listen, it's not good news for the country that interest rates are this low, right? I mean, we've got the 10-year Treasury yield well below 1%. That is not actually a good thing for the country. We want rates to be low, but not that low. However, it is good news for some folks, particularly people, for instance, who are trying to refinance. So what are you seeing out there in terms of consumers? Are a lot of your clients able to capitalize on these very low rates?
Oh yeah, it's crazy right now. I've been doing this for 32 years. Mm-hmm. We have more business coming in right now than I've ever seen in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And mortgage rates just hit we were locking rates on 30-year rates around 3 or under. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen that in my whole life. And like you said, it's good. We would never seen this if it wasn't for the pandemic.
Right.
So it's good for homeowners. So if you missed it last time, you know, it's your fault. I do a YouTube video every night, and I'm also on AM 1160, which is the sister station.
Right.
I'm on there every night as well. And a lot of people missed the boat about a month ago. Rates hit their lowest in history. Mm-hmm. And then we just hit it again. Our company, we just hit it again this week.
Right.
So, I mean, the floodgates are wide open. So, you know, there's a lot of fear out in the market right now. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is the forbearance
thing. Yeah, please. Because,
and I don't know if
yesterday on CNBC, Diana Olick, who is the really excellent housing reporter for CNBC. One of my former colleagues, I used to work with her when I was a broadcaster for them. She reported that 2 million borrowers right now are in forbearance. So please describe what forbearance is, and then also give strategies for, you know, what do you think people should be doing who can't pay their mortgage right now?
So, great question. And she, I hate to say it, I follow her as well. She missed the boat on this one. I hate to say that, and I know you're friends with her.
No, that's okay. Please tell us.
The forbearance isn't what it's cracked up to be. For those that were homeowners, you know, back in 2008, 9, 10, when all that hit, and you were doing it at that time too. You were in the pits, I think, at that time. It's the trading pits.
So, not the metaphorical pits, yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people went into the loan modifications. I mean, those were a debacle, but they helped a lot of people stay in their homes. Here's what the forbearance does. And the way it's portrayed right now is that you get to skip, you know, 2-3 months of payments. Well, you're not skipping them. It's like the government, especially in Illinois, how we just kick the can down the street, mm-hmm. you know, with taxes and pensions and everything else. What it's doing is it's saying, okay, you can skip, you know, Mr. Homeowner, Mrs. Homeowner. You don't have to make right now April's payment, probably not May's payment, maybe not even June's payment. Okay, so let's say your payment's $1,500 a month. Mm-hmm. So what happens in July is you get a statement and saying, okay, you owe $1,500 for July, but you owe us $1,500 for April, May, and June also. So we need $6,000 right now mm-hmm. as your payment.
Right.
If you're not working right now, and many aren't, you know, if you can't make the mortgage payment now,
right.
don't kick
it's
it down.
It's unlikely that you're going to have that kind of cash in just a few months.
Exactly.
Correct.
So here's what I'm promoting right now.
What's the alternative then?
Refinance. And here's why. And I know I'm biased because of the mortgage piece of what I do for a living. But one, the rates are historic lows. Mm-hmm. So almost guaranteed, if you qualify for a mortgage, you're going to get a lower rate. That's one. Two, when we refinance you, I structure you that you can skip 2 mortgage payments.
Okay.
You can truly skip them. So if we close your loan, let's say we start today and we close you in May, you won't have a mortgage payment in May, you won't have one in June, you'll have your first payment in July, and it'll be one payment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I'm trying to tell a lot of people too is don't rack up your credit cards. You might not have a choice, but don't rack up your credit cards, you know, for the next 2-3 months. Struggle, maybe get behind on your mortgage, and then try to do something because your credit scores are going to be terrible because mm-hmm. your debt's out the roof. And if you miss a mortgage payment, you get behind, you just shot yourself in the foot. You can't refinance.
Well, and let me ask you that, Dan. So
right now is
refinancing, though, for somebody who just lost their job, is refinancing reasonable? I mean, can you get refinanced if you don't have a current job?
Well, so here's in most, it's not like 2000 or 2008-9 where companies were just shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening in most of the situations we're seeing right now is they're not truly losing their jobs. They're getting furloughed mm-hmm. or they're getting, you know, a lot of the restaurant workers, they know, like we get a lot of letters from people in the restaurant business saying, you know, as soon as our doors are going to open up May 1st, you know, at that time, the person still has a job. They're going to get a paycheck. So we can get you all prepped. So as soon as you get back to work and we can validate you're back to work, and close you.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is try to make this month, because it might be 2-3 more weeks that you're off, but you might have dug yourself a huge hole. But unless, if you lost your job and you're out of work, my prayer's out to you. But if you're just furloughed and you know you're going back and everything, do something.
Right. Understood. Also, we've got to be aware that, you know, and I say this a lot, I'm always trying to find the silver lining to this dark cloud. And it is a dark cloud out there economically. No way, you know, two ways about it. But there are silver linings. One of them is if you're a homeowner, you got a big mortgage, you might save a lot of money on your mortgage by refinancing. So, or for people who are looking to buy a home, for that matter, might be a great time.
Yeah.
Probably not for the sellers, but probably a great time for the buyers out there. So Dan Frio, so appreciate you being on the show. And I encourage the listeners to go to Dan's website, themortgageupdate.net.
So I think I answered most of the questions there, but let's dig in a little further. Basically, what I was saying is a forbearance isn't the opportunity to completely skip a mortgage payment. Basically, you're just kicking the can. So let me do the math real simple again. And I'm going to dwell on this. And if you follow me on YouTube, and I do a YouTube video every night, I am pounding this into people's heads, and I'm going to continue to do that for the next month or two because I'm trying to save you. So here's what a forbearance is. Basically, they're saying, okay, you can skip this month's payment. Not really skip it. You can postpone it. Let's put it that way. You can pause your payment. So let's say it is April. So we're going to pause that April payment, and your payment is $1,500. Let's make it simple. They're giving you a 3 months reprieve. So they're saying April, May, and June, you can pause those payments. Okay. So basically those 3 months add up to $4,500. So you didn't have to make those at that time. Then the agreement's going to say, well, on July 1st, we're going to restart things for you because we gave you those 3 months reprieve. Now you need to make your $1,500 July payment and you have to bring your account current. So you have to send in the $4,500 from three previous months for a total of $6,000 that you're going to have to send into your mortgage company on July 1st. Are you ready for that? If not, stay tuned. When we come back, I'm going to show you all your alternatives. Don't go away.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back. This is Dan Frio. Hope you got another cup of coffee. So what we want to talk about right now is your alternatives to the forbearance agreement that everybody's associating it with the CARE Act and because of the pandemic and everything. So basically the news out, and Diane Swank was on CNBC the other night. And I hate to say it, she's a really great economist, but she pooched this one. She basically made it sound like that you can actually skip those payments. Now, I'm not saying some lenders might not do that, but the majority of clients that I'm speaking with, and this is 9 out of 10 people, and many of these people have sent me their letters, the letter specifically says exactly how we went over it previously. It's saying, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, your payments in April are going to be zero. In May, it is zero. In June, once again, it is zero. This is going to be a huge help to you. However, in July, there's a little small print at the bottom right below all that. You need to make $6,000 to bring your account current. That is actually what forbearance means. It doesn't say skip. It doesn't say do not make your payments, period, ever. It's not forgiving you of those payments. It is forbearance, which is just kicking the can down the street. Okay, so please get that straight. And if you get a letter from your mortgage company, please reach out to me and I'll give you all my information at the end of the show. You can find me on the AM 560 website. If you're listening on WYLL radio, which I am on also, I am on their website. You can go just Google the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio and you're going to find ample information about me, and some of my top videos are actually talking about this topic now. Okay, so your alternatives. And yes, I'm a mortgage person. I truly have your best interests in mind. So if they're going to say, you know what, you can skip three payments, you can skip six payments, and you never have to make them up, God bless you, take it. But I can almost guarantee you that's not what's going to happen. Okay, so here's what I want to do. Rates this past week hit in the ultimate lowest level ever in history, period. Right now, I have a, I'm looking at my my computer screen right now. We're closing a loan on Monday. We locked that client in on a 3% 30-year term. The APR is 3.044. Okay, so basically there is almost no fees in that loan application for that client. So that is, you know, where 30-year rates are. I can almost guarantee you your rate is higher than that. And 15-year low rates are even lower than that. So the options that I have for you are a couple. The biggest way to do it is refinance, okay? And let's go through the various options of refinancing. If you currently have an FHA or VA loan, it is simple. As long as we can reduce your rate by a quarter to a half a percent and you have not missed a mortgage payment in the last 12 months and your credit score is sufficient enough, we can do what's called a streamline, okay, on that product. So FHA and VA, here's what we need from you, and it's really simple. We don't need your income to validate your income, nor a job. We do not need an appraisal. Basically, we need the note to your mortgage to validate that we're at least giving you a rate of a half a percent lower, which in probably almost every case out there, we can do that with today's rates, and you qualify. That's it. So I don't need to pay stubs. I don't need tax returns. I don't need an appraisal. So the first thing a lot of people say is, Dan, that's those stupid loans they used to do. No, it's not. Here's the thinking behind it. You haven't missed a payment for 12 months. You took out the loan 2-3 years ago, even a year ago, and you've made every payment on time. The program is designed that what are we doing? Again, we're lowering your rate a half a percent. Obviously, at that point, your payment's going to go down. So if you can pay $2,000 a month, your new payment's going to be $1,600 a month, and you've never missed a payment before, why should you miss a payment now? So how I structure these loans is this. We close you, let's say, for example, right now, I'm recording this in April of 2020. We close your loan on May 5th. Now, follow me with this. It gets a little complicated, but there's no fuzzy math that you see on a lot of programs, YouTubes, TV. As a lender, we can only collect your payments on the first of each month. Okay, that's etched in stone, basically. So if we close your loan on May 5th, we, by law, have to give you minimally 30 days before a payment can be due, okay? So we go May 5th, goes to June 5th, is the 30th day out, okay? We don't collect payments middle of the month. So we push out your payment to the following 1st. That would be July 1st. So we close your loan on May 5th. You do not make your May mortgage payment. Our payment is due in July, so that means you do not make a June mortgage payment. You truly skipped 2 mortgage payments. The one now due in July is just 1 normal payment, and it's the lower payment than where you were before. Okay, that is how we refinance FHA and VA loans. Okay, so now you don't have an FHA loan or a VA loan. It's most likely a conventional loan. Kind of works similar to that. The pay plan does, meaning your payments to us, we close May 5th. You do not have a payment until July 1st. The qualifications are different, though. I need your pay stubs. I need your tax. Basically, here's a lot of people say, you know, I don't want to go through all this. It's a pain in the butt to get a refinance my mortgage. It's really not these days. The rates are phenomenal. If you called me and said, Dan, I'm struggling, but my rate is, you know, 1%. And I'm offering 10, I'd be like, you know what, do everything you can to keep your payments current, because it doesn't make any sense for you to refinance. I'm not trying to put you in a worse position. But I can almost assure you the rate that I can get you today is lower than your rate that you currently have. It most likely has to be because they're the lowest in history, unless your credit scores are bad and other, you know, reasons why you might not qualify. But so what I'm looking to do right now is let's look to see how we can help you in the refinance realm. Okay. One is most likely you're going to get a lower rate. with that lower rate comes a lower payment. Okay, so obviously you're going to have a lower payment. However, during these times right now, a lot of people are running up credit cards. You're living off your credit cards, especially if you're furloughed from your job. So it's tough. You know the employment checks are going to be coming, probably haven't come yet. So how are you putting food on the table? Well, you're probably using a charge card. That charge card probably has an interest rate of 20 to 25%. So you might, you got to do what you have to do. But maybe what we look at is refinancing you, paying off a 25% credit card with a 3 or 4% mortgage, okay? And then even possibly pull out some cash for a rainy day. And that rainy day might be anytime soon. You might not be back to work on May 1st. You might not go back on June 1st. Wonder if this pandemic goes longer. I'm not saying I'm not the gloom and doom person. I think everything's going to be back as close to normal, middle of May, June, July. It'll be all resolved. The weather's back and everybody's kind of back at full swing. Let's get you through these short times. And again, my goal is not to put you in a worse position. It is to get you a lower rate, consolidate some bills, put some money in your pocket, truly skip 2 months mortgage payments, and put you into a much better situation. Okay, so that's the next alternative on how to do all of this. Okay, so we went through how to refinance, those options of refinancing. FHA and VA, those are government loans. We can do what's called a streamline. Very simple process to get you through there. If you have a conventional loan, it's also a pretty easy process right now. A lot of our loans are getting approved with only asking of the following information: your last two pay stubs, your last year W-2, and an appraisal. Many times right now, if you've been in your home for a long time and you've built up some equity, we might even be able to get an appraisal waiver where an appraisal isn't even need to be done. And if it freaks you out to have somebody come to your home in regards to doing the appraisal and walking through your home, we can even do what they call a drive-by at this time and or what they call a desktop review of your home for to determine the value of your property. So the government and a lot of agencies are trying to make this as easy as we possibly can to help you so you don't get fooled by getting into this forbearance agreement. I can't do anything, and I wish I could, about COVID-19, the coronavirus, people being furloughed, losing their jobs. Where I can help you is giving you the facts and how do we truly skip to mortgage payments. Just think how much money you could put back in your pocket or not have to spend that you probably don't anyways if you didn't have to make a mortgage payment for 2 months, okay? The problem that a lot of people are going to face, they're going to put their head in the sand, and they're going to maybe get behind on their mortgage, run up their credit cards, and then when they start to freak out 60 days down the road, they're going to come back and say, "Oh my goodness, now I need to apply." Well, if you go 30 days or more late, or go more than 30 days late on your mortgage, you're not going to qualify. And if you run up those credit cards, max each one of them out, you're going to totally annihilate your credit scores, and that's also going to hinder you from doing anything. So act now, and at least look into it. Let's see where we can put you. Let's see what we can do, and hopefully I can put you in a better space. So if you want to reach out to me, give me a call. I got an 800 number that's super easy to get me, 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-LOAN, or you can find me on the web at thefrioteam.com. Don't go away. We're going to be back with Shalom Klein in 1 minute.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back. This is Dan Frio. I have a special guest, Shalom Klein. You can hear him on AM 560 Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. His show is Get Down to Business, and I asked him to come on here to basically, help us help you out there, especially small business owners. How do you cope with the environment we're in right now? And, I wouldn't be able to afford, running a business and having all those expenses with no revenue coming in. But during our initial conversation, I just found out that Shalom had the coronavirus, and that was an intriguing to me. So I basically wanted to welcome, buddy. Welcome to
it's
the show.
It's great to be with you.
Awesome. So tell us, what was the experience like? I mean, how bad is it?
It's pretty terrible. And I think that for everybody that has had COVID-19, their experience has been a little bit different. For me, it sort of snuck up on me a couple of weeks ago, initially with a headache, as well as some aches and pains. And then I started experiencing a fever, low-grade fever, just under 100 degrees. Mm-hmm. And then I kept checking my temperature, and it was 101, then 102, then 103.
Oh, wow.
Finally, I went in, got tested. When it got to the point that I wasn't able to focus anymore, it, believe it or not, the test results actually came back negative, which is fairly typical. One in three tests are coming back with a false negative, and that's what I had. So I had a false negative. I spoke to my doctor, who said, yeah, your diagnosis is completely incorrect. You actually do have COVID-19. You actually do have coronavirus, and you better stay home and quarantine and focus on getting better. And being me, I continued working right through it and have stayed so busy, busy enough to distract myself from the virus. And now I'm finally, just literally in the past 24, 48 hours, just on the flip side of the virus and starting to feel a lot better. And now hopefully disseminating important information to folks that are still in quarantine and still unable to conduct their business.
Wow. Well, God bless you, man. I didn't realize that you're that much into it. Or, I mean, that much into the, you know, just getting on the back end of this coronavirus. So the reason why we asked you here is, you know, with employment, employees or companies, what is your take or what would be your advice on how do a lot of companies make it through these times?
It's very tough on many levels. For a business owner that has a, doesn't really matter whether it's a physical location or they're a service-based business, if they are fortunate enough to employ people, mm-hmm. It's hard enough to offer those services and to continue to operate your business. And having employees is sort of an extra layer of a challenge. That's why the federal government has been working to pass stimulus packages and resources to help, including the Paycheck Protection Program, commonly known as the PPP. The Paycheck Protection Program is a loan designed to provide a direct incentive for small businesses to keep their workers on the payroll. And that is really important because if all employees are kept on the payroll for 8 weeks and the money is used for payroll, rent, mortgage interest, or utilities, they can apply for that funding to keep people employed. But you're absolutely right that it really doesn't matter where the business is located. Businesses are struggling big time, and struggling to pay their bills, struggling to make payroll. And it's almost impossible to fathom that 8-12 weeks after sort of having to put your business on hold, that you might still be expected to provide a payroll for the people that were employed by you prior to the crisis.
Yeah. I always say, you know, your employer, a lot of people think, you know, they're the business owner, so they got to be wealthy. Well, not all, probably not a majority of business owners are, you know, multimillionaires. So it might not be their lack of, I don't want to say it, compassion for you. It might just be they just can't do it because a lot of employees don't realize the expenses on the back end of things. You know, they might own the building, or even if they don't own the building, they pay rent. It's probably a hefty amount. Utilities, this, that. I mean, that information adds up, or those numbers add up fast.
So, you know,
in fact, we've seen that even companies like the Cheesecake Factory, larger companies that have leases all over the country, they are going to the landlords and they're saying, hey, we're not going to be paying rent for the next couple of months.
Right.
There's just no way we're going to make that choice and choose between paying our people and paying the rent. We're choosing to go with the people side of things. But many companies don't even have the luxury of doing that.
Right.
They are not able to pay their people. They're not able to pay their rent. They are, in some cases, just focused on trying to keep the brand alive and able to survive or post the crisis. And that's where right now it's so important on the local level that people shop local, that you're buying gift cards right now to help businesses and restaurants make it through this. And ordering takeout and ordering delivery. This is a absolutely critical time to help businesses make it through this crisis.
Got it. So is it, how hard is it for these companies to go in and get the loans to get the funding to help them cover their payroll, cover their bills, everything else? Because they, you know, my understanding is part of the CARE Act or, the, you know, some of the things that they're putting together, the Fed, is they're giving the options or the ability for people to go in there and get these loans. Is that a, like when they opened up the floodgates to Obamacare, you know how messed up that system was? It would take you a week to get even logged on and then you couldn't figure it out. Is there a huge bottleneck in that piece of the puzzle at this time? Do you know?
There's a massive bottleneck.
Okay.
The website's shutting down. The websites cannot handle the influx of traffic. And the interesting thing is, unlike Obamacare, where it was one website, healthcare.gov, you're talking about multiple banks and you're talking about multiple websites that cannot handle the traffic. They just don't have enough bankers and enough folks that are knowledgeable enough in the actual situation. And the actual resources that are available. But going beyond the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and going beyond the banks that are offering local lending through banks around the country, there are a number of local resources that are available as well, including on the state level, the Illinois Small Business Emergency Loan Fund, the basically small businesses located outside of the city of Chicago with fewer than 50 workers and less than $3 million in revenue are eligible for a loan of up to $50,000 to support their working capital. Many of those loans are actually completely and totally forgivable. There's also a Cook County Community Recovery Initiative, which funds a one-time zero-interest loan of up to $20,000. And finally, there's the Chicago Resiliency Fund, which the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, set up, supported by nonprofits to help businesses, again, with fewer than 50 employees, which many of these restaurants fall into, within the city of Chicago, to apply for a loan of up to $50,000. And it's very, very specific what that fund will actually cover. And payroll is the top priority. Payroll is the number one area of focus for all of these lending, because bottom line, if we don't have people working for businesses, we don't have businesses at all. So obviously, everybody's hopeful that landlords will be will help accommodate businesses and small businesses that want to remain in business. But when we're talking about payroll, that is absolutely mission critical for these businesses to survive.
Got it. The tough thing I hear with the mortgage piece of things, and you were saying like Cheesecake Factory, they're going to the landlords and saying we can't make those payments. The unfortunate part about this, there's a whole long chain of what then happens is they don't pay their landlord. Well, the landlord probably has a mortgage. Then they might not be able to pay their mortgage. Well, the mortgage is held by investors such as through mortgage-backed securities that is a bond that trades. It might be your retirement account. It might be somebody's pension plans or whatever. That's the whole effect that happened back in like 2008, 9, and 10 where it crashed the whole economy. So there's a lot more pieces of this puzzle than meets the eye. But also the Fed is starting to get involved in that where they're seeing
okay, we can help on the front end, like exactly what you're saying, but now they're coming in on the back end and they're trying to help even the banks. And a lot of people don't care about the banks. I get it, because they do this, that. They pay themselves astronomical amounts of money and then they get bailed out. But that's what I want to come back with. When we come back, I'd love your insight. We'll talk to the business owners out there, and let's give them a survival guide on what they can do. And maybe I post this on YouTube and in podcasts and so forth. What I could do is at the bottom of in the description, I'll email you. If you can send me all those entities that you spoke of on where people can go and get these, or at least apply for these loans and or grants, and go from there. So we'll be right back with Shalom Klein of Getting Down to Business. We're going to give you a survival guide on how to get through all this. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back. This is Dan Frio with special guest Shalom Klein of Get Down to Business. So basically, we're trying to help the small business owners get through this mess. I can't fathom, let's say, for example, if I owned a restaurant, I can't fathom how I could go for 30, maybe 60 days, maybe 90 days without any revenue. I mean, because there is a lot of costs involved in between your lease payment or your building payments, your utilities, trying to keep some workers on staff, and everything else behind the scenes. So that's why I asked you on is helping give us a guide to help the small business guys get through this process. So what are a lot of I know you're involved in a lot of things in your neighborhoods and throughout the Chicagoland area. I mean, the show's broadcast all throughout Chicago. What are some local resources people could go to for some assistance, some help?
Well, I'm going to make sure that I send over a number of the links and a number of the resources that are available throughout the city of Chicago, Cook County, and so on. But there are so many other resources that are available through local chambers of commerce and through local municipalities that your listeners would otherwise not be aware of. Okay. I mean, just think about it, Dan. On the average week, businesses struggle just on a regular day. It's tough to be a small business owner in wherever you might be. Then you add the additional layer of coronavirus, and it's just nearly impossible to make it. So what many of these communities have done is implemented various incentive programs where they're creating separate websites. For example, I live in Skokie, and skokie.org, you go to the website, it provides a directory of all of the businesses that are open, their hours, their which businesses are open for takeout, delivery, and so on, and which businesses have not been able to make it through this, and they're not promoting those businesses anymore because that would just confuse the local residents. And so what we're finding is that there are many additional resources that are available through local municipalities as well as local chambers of commerce to help support local businesses, including different incentive programs that if you buy a gift card, you'll get an extra $25 from that community or something like that. And I'm seeing a lot of those programs that are available. That's what my show is really all about, is promoting some of those resources that are available.
Tell us a little bit about, for those that haven't tuned into your show, give us a little bio about yourselves, because you seem to know a lot about your communities and a lot about the small business, helping small businesses survive.
Yeah, absolutely. So my show, Get Down to Business, has been on the air for a little actually, this week will be 6 years that we've been on the air, April 20th.
Awesome. God bless you.
6 years. Thank you. So that's pretty exciting. And obviously, right now, I am broadcasting remotely because of COVID-19. But we've been on the air for a long time. We've had hundreds of guests on the show, including local business owners and authors and government leaders, people that are making a difference in the community. But I, as you mentioned, Dan, I am very involved in the local community. I'm an officer with the U.S. Army Reserves. That's a privilege of a lifetime to be able to assist with the local response to COVID together with our brothers and sisters in the Illinois National Guard. I'm very involved locally. I'm chairman of Skokie's Economic Development Commission and, you know, very actively involved in promoting the resources, whether it's around coronavirus or around many of the other things that impact our community. I'm very involved in helping to spread the word on those things. And trust me, if it's not 2020 and the current situation, it will be something else in a year or two from now. And that's what this is all about.
And you're also an author.
I am. Aside for hosting the radio show, I also wrote a book just before leading to the Army about a year and a half, 2 years ago, with the same title as the name of the show, called Get Down to Business. And in that book, I profile a little over 100 people that have inspired me, and the messages and the resources that that I am so proud of learning from them. And again, the book is called Get Down to Business. I highly encourage everybody to get on Amazon, go online, find a copy of the book, and it will help you get through through this situation. There's no question about it. There are many government resources that are available to help you.
Awesome. So we went over helping small businesses. I'm going to turn the table a little bit, because in the first segment we talked about you having coronavirus. Explain, or because you're, I'll say, the coronavirus survival or survivor, what's your take on what should a lot of us do that don't see it? Because you even said you have family members that have it. And some people think, on one side of the spectrum, think it's kind of just, okay, it's a cold. And then other people, it's doomsday. You lived it. Can you give your personal take on, you know, I know you don't know how you got it, but give us this survival guide of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
You know, what's your take on it?
Yeah, I'm glad you're asking, Dan. Really, really important. And I'll say this for starters. It affects everybody a little bit different. So what the symptoms that I had impacted me are very different than those that are affecting some of my family members. For me, I was able to work through coronavirus, and it wasn't fun. I was weak. I did not have the same energy level. But that was different than, for example, my 3-month-old nephew that also experienced COVID-19. My father-in-law was in the hospital for almost a week. So for everybody, it's affected them a little bit different. But to go to the heart of your question of what to do, listen to the advice that's being shared. Stay home. Stay home. That is the most important thing that anybody can do, because if you get out and you are just putting yourself at risk, we do not know how much longer the coronavirus will be out and about. And we need to make sure that we are protecting ourselves, that you should try to get your groceries delivered to your front door as much as possible. Don't go out shopping. If you have to go out, put on a face mask. Follow the advice that's being given to you by your local mayors, by the governor. Right now, I believe we're up to several thousands of people that have died from coronavirus. I'm very fortunate that I was impacted, but it did not alter my life in a major way. I was able to make it through this, and many people have not been as fortunate. They've been placed on ventilators. I know personally dozens of people that have died because of this situation. So follow the advice. Use a face mask. Don't go out unless absolutely necessary. Don't go shopping unless absolutely necessary. Try to get your deliveries. There's so many resources that are out there. And I would just encourage everybody to heed that advice and don't be an example. This was not fun. What happened to me should not happen to you.
So I have another question for you. For those employers, once the mandate comes due, say May 1st, when everybody can open their doors again, because, I mean, their doors can be opened, but, you know, would somebody maybe have insurance problems? or are people having healthcare issues as employers saying, you know what, we don't want people back to work? How and what's the best way for people to reopen those doors without having problems?
Yeah, I'm glad you're asking that, Dan. There's two sides of this. There's right now, businesses are being encouraged to keep non-essential employees home. And anybody that has to go out should be wearing personal protective equipment, including masks and gloves. And really, it's encouraged that most employers stay home and keep their employees at home. You mentioned a date of the end of April. We don't know that businesses will be allowed to reopen at that point. But when we do get the all clear here in Illinois, it will be highly, highly, highly important that every workspace does a deep clean and sets up the processes and policies and procedures to make it easier for employees to come back to work and feel comfortable. Not everybody is going to be ready to come back to work. There will be still many people recovering, even post April 30th or whatever the new date might be. So it's important that companies actively encourage sick employees stay home. Employees that have symptoms should definitely notify their supervisor and stay home. Sick employees should follow CDC recommended steps. But employees that are well and who have a sick family member at home with COVID-19 should notify their supervisor and follow CDC recommended precautions. It's important that when everybody goes back to work, you're separating sick employees and making sure that you are providing the right level of education. Because keep in mind that we do have to maintain healthy business operations, and we have to implement flexible sick leave and supportive policies and practices. A workplace pre-coronavirus is not going to be the same as post-coronavirus, for sure. But that said, it's important to continue to operate with your essential functions and determine how you're going to operate if absenteeism spikes and put in new processes for social distancing. I actually heard this morning that Dr. Anthony Fauci is saying that it's quite likely he will never shake hands with anybody ever again.
Really? You were an eye-opener, buddy. So I wanted to thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us, especially you're just getting over the virus. So thank you again. And please don't forget to tune in to Get Down to Business with Shalom Klein on Sundays, 6 p.m. on AM 560. God bless, brother. Take care.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Get healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to thank you for tuning in. God bless. If I can be of any help to you, please let me know. You can reach me at 844-775-LOAN. Shoot me an email at dfrio@preferredrate.com or check me out on the web at thefrioteam.com. Thanks for tuning in. God bless. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Call Dan today at 844-775-LOAN. That's 844-775-5626 or online at thefrioteam.com.